The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Darren Mooney, author, a writer, a film and TV critic. And what Darren is here to talk to us about is the streaming, the sort of the breaking of the streaming wave. Because over the last number of years, some of the biggest media conglomerates in the world have been pumping literally billions of dollars into streaming. And we have all been told that this is where the market is going. And for some, it is working out beautifully. And for some, it is turning into a disaster. Are we at the point, Darren, where the big ones like the Disneys and the Amazons are going to start rethinking their commitment to streaming, or is it the only game in town?
It's a very interesting question you're asking there, because like when you say rethinking their commitment to streaming, the larger companies are so deeply entrenched and so invested in this model that they're never going to retreat completely. You're never going to lose Amazon Prime. Netflix is probably never going to go away within my lifetime. And Disney Plus is something that is very much tied up in the Disney brand. But what you will see is, for the bigger companies, a sort of a retrenchment, where they will stop spending as much as they have been spending in the area. And we know this for a fact, because recently Apple TV Plus, Apple's streaming service, which is comparatively tiny in terms of market share, I think it's something like 0.2% of the total streaming market, but is worth billions because Apple have very deep pockets. They've announced recently, first of all, that they will be spending less on original programming than they had been. And second of all, that they will be spending less on movies than they had been, and trying to limit the theatrical release of those movies as well. So you will see the spending go down significantly. And you can even, looking at, you mentioned Disney Plus, like, if you are a Disney Plus subscriber, think about it. Over the past 2 or 3 years, when it launched, it was flooded with branded content. You had like The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett. On the Marvel front, you had like WandaVision, Loki, Captain America, all coming in quick succession. When was the last Marvel TV show that was released? That was Echo, which was back in January. There's a very much a kind of a tempering and a throttling of the content, and that means a throttling of the spending as well.
Now, why is that? Because if you take the Apple TV case in point, at the start, when Apple TV started off, we had things like Coda, we had, isn't it Fitch, the big Tom Hanks vehicle.
Yeah.
There was serious, honest to God, what would have been big screen productions appearing on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, one of the great ironies of the streaming war is that like Netflix for years spent hundreds of millions of dollars trying to win an Oscar, and it ends up being Apple that are the first streaming service to take home the Best Picture Oscar for Coda, as you mentioned. And there was a while where if you talked to anybody in the film industry, you went to a film festival and they were just throwing round cash, $20, $30, $40 million for a film that cost only $10 million to make. You know, it was just an insane amount of spending. And so the reason why they're pulling back is because they're not necessarily seeing huge returns on this. And there are several problems with it. The first of which is, how do you quantify returns on streaming? If you're generating content for a streaming service, how do you know that what's getting Anton Savage to sign up for Apple TV Plus is Coda and not, say, Ted Lasso? How do you know that he's there for Slow Horses and not for C, for example? And, you know, evidently looking at their internal metrics, they're seeing that the amount of content they're generating isn't generating a corresponding rise in subscriptions.
But surely they can then tell what the they may not be coaxing people onto the platform by that, but they also need to service the existing users that they have. So will they not be able to look and say, well, okay, Coda has gotten X amount of eyeballs, therefore we need that kind of thing to keep people with us? Or is inertia such a big factor that once you're on, you're on?
In the States, we're starting to see a higher level of churn. You're starting to see people who are moving like month to month between streaming service. And what you will notice, if you're, you know, in some ways a cynical observer of how these companies operate, and I'm not saying I am, but if you were, you'd notice that a lot of the big streaming releases are now structured across month ends, but are also particularly structured across financial quarters. So, for example, think of Netflix, right? Netflix have always been the company that released the binge model. House of Cards was groundbreaking in 2013 because you could log on, all 13 episodes available all at once. If you are a Netflix subscriber, what you've started seeing is you started seeing more split seasons. So, for example, the final season of You, Stranger Things, for example, Bridgerton, these are typically broken into halves. And what you'll notice is that those halves are typically broken across financial quarters. So the idea is, if you subscribe for Bridgerton, you're not going to unsubscribe halfway through season three. You're going to hold on across the gap between June and July, and that will retain you as a member.
Now, if you're saying they're throttling and they're cutting back, I would have thought they're still in the phase where you've Netflix, you've the Disneys, you've the whatever left of HBO, you've Netflix. Surely they're still jockeying for market share, and therefore they have little choice but to keep investing.
Well, again, this is one of the things where you follow the leader in this sense. There was this huge boom during the pandemic where everybody was locked at home and everybody had more disposable income. Nobody was spending money going out to the pubs. So that money could be channeled into streaming services. And you saw this huge boom in subscription numbers for those services. And I would argue, and I think the numbers would argue, that that was kind of the market maxing out. Anybody who was going to subscribe to your service probably did during COVID when they had the disposable income, and obviously before inflation took off. And what you're seeing now is the assumption that the base number of subscribers, the pie, is not going to get any bigger. And you are basically fighting to retain your share of that pie is where the situation seems to be. And once you have companies making cutbacks, it becomes more acceptable for other companies to make cutbacks. Because obviously, if you're competing against, you know, Disney's looking at Netflix, they're looking at Amazon. If Netflix and Amazon cut back on spending and production, that gives Disney an excuse to ease off the throttle. It gives HBO an example to ease off the throttle. An example I would give is HBO, Warner Brothers, obviously moved from AT&T to Discovery during the pandemic. One of the big things that David Zaslav, the CEO of Warner's Discovery, did was he said, there's no way for me to make a profit releasing this $80 million Batgirl movie on streaming. So I'm just going to write it off. I'm going to accept a tax write-off, and I'm not going to release it at all. Nobody will ever see this. And he did the same with the Scooby-Doo movie.
This is a completed, finished movie in the can. Just don't let it out.
It is. And it's from the directors of like Bad Boys 3 and Bad Boys 4, to give you an example. It stars Michael Keaton and Brendan Fraser. This is a movie that actually exists, but nobody aside from the cast and crew have ever seen, and nobody theoretically will ever see, right? And it does not exist anymore because they accepted the tax write-off because they said, this won't bring value to our service for the amount of money that we would have to pay to, you know, the actors involved, the directors involved, the amount of publicity we would have to do after you released in order to gain people's eyeballs on it. It just wouldn't be worth it. It would be better to write off the loss. But when they did it, all the other companies followed suit. So Disney, for example, they removed the streaming series Willow, starring Warwick Davis. Not available anywhere anymore, even on the Disney streaming service. The movie Crater, which is it's a young adult movie about people going on a moon journey. That was only on the service for 48 days before they pulled it. And it just does not exist anywhere anymore, you know? And so once one company does it, it becomes acceptable for others.
Now, back in the day, the elderly of my vintage will recall there was a time when there was more than one search engine. And you had the Ask Jeeves and the Lycos and the Yahoos and the Googles. And there was a similar kind of jockeying for position. Are we at the same position now where in 5 years there'll be Netflix and nothing else?
I don't think so. And I don't think so for a number of reasons. The first of which is that the tech companies, which are your Amazons, your Apples and your Netflix, those are going to be there forever because for them, this is not the primary business that they have. The comparison I make is for Amazon. Listeners probably subscribe to Amazon Prime Video because they like the free shipping. It's an optional extra. It's the magazine rack at the end of the store when you used to go to the grocery store before you ordered everything from Amazon. And that, I think, will always be around. Apple, I think there's a certain amount of ego involved there as well. So they won't they won't ever scrap the service. They'll just spend less on it. The question is the legacy media companies, right? Where you're talking about your NBC Universals, you're talking about your Warner Brothers. And you're already
seeing... Both of whom have streaming versions. I mean, NBC has gone to Peacock.
Yep, and Warner's have Max, which used to be HBO Max. And you'll notice, actually, for Irish and UK subscribers, if you subscribe to Now TV or Sky, you used to have the option of Peacock. Peacock used to be a tile that you could subscribe to on there, along with Paramount Plus. Now it is gone. It's gone as of January. Lionsgate TV Plus, which existed since, I think, 2022, quietly dropped in February of this year. So you will see the studios begin to scale back. And you'll even see things like, at the moment, there are services that operate multiple streaming services, which is perhaps hubristic, one might say, where Paramount assumed that they can sell you both Paramount Plus and Showtime, for example. If you're in the States, Disney assumed that they can sell you Hulu and Disney Plus. What you will see is you will see those consolidating into single entities. So Hulu will be folded into Disney Plus in the States. Over here, you've already had Showtime being folded into Paramount. And you will also see bundling. Again, this is where it's really weird because streaming is starting to look a lot like television, where you have companies like, say, Warner Brothers and Disney. They're going in together on things like a live sporting venture. I think they're calling it Venue. But they're also in the States bundling Max and Disney Plus as a package that you can buy for cheaper than buying both of them separately. I think
so. Ironically, because particularly in the US, that was the sort of the cable TV model where you could say, I want cable and I want the following six channels. Is that where we're heading to? I want streaming and I'll take Hulu, I'll take HBO, I'll take Netflix and I'll take Warner or whatever.
Absolutely. And I think the thing about this is that like streaming was sold as this like paradigm shifting, like this thing that would change the way that you consumed media. And it increasingly seems like all the services have gradually and slowly realized, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't have broken television. Maybe television was a sustainable model where you have the bundles. You mentioned the cable bundles, but you also have the return of advertising, where like Amazon in the States have introduced advertising on their service. They're going to introduce it here.
YouTube is neck deep in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, YouTube is what Netflix wished that they were, because YouTube don't have to spend any money on content. The content is all user generated and uploaded. They're just a platform that hosts it. So they get, you know, a significant portion of the advertising share that they generate and the brand, but they don't ever have to pay anyone directly out of their own pockets. It's an incredible model. And again, Netflix, who are spending, you know, $30 million per episode of Stranger Things, are going, maybe we were in the wrong business.
From a consumer point of view, finally then, Darren, are we looking at a wonderful vista, or are we looking at a more expensive version of TV?
I think we're looking at a more expensive version of TV, which is the unfortunate outcome, where you're going to end up paying more for services that were essentially free years ago. You're going to, if you want to retain something resembling an affordable platform, you're going to have your data sold to advertisers. You're going to have Bridgerton interrupted by advertising. And, you know, if you want to pay separately for the things that just that you want, as opposed to buying the whole bundle, you're going to pay more. It's weird. It's very strange.
Darren, thank you so much. That is Darren Mooney, who is author, writer, and film and TV critic.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.